commenting on Isaiah's entire goal for writing Isaiah chapter 61, pastor and scholar Ray Ortlund writes, "Isaiah wants to inspire in us such admiration for our Messiah that we gladly exert ourselves for his cause in our generation." I love that. And that brings us to what I think is the big idea of our passage this morning. Gladly give yourselves to the Messiah's cause. Gladly give yourselves to the Messiah's cause. Now, this morning, we're going to explore three reasons why. We're going to remember three reasons why we are going to gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023. Three reasons. Reason one, the Messiah. Reason two, the Messiah's message. Reason three, the Messiah's people. Gladly give yourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023 for three reasons. First, the Messiah. Second, the Messiah's message. And third, the Messiah's people. So with that said, let's begin with the first. This year, we're going to gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause first and foremost because of the Messiah. You see, the first reason why we gladly give ourselves to his cause, the first reason why we've purchased the building, and the first reason why we're going to give generously so that we can build out this facility into a place where we can set down deep roots in our community and bear lasting fruit for generations, the first reason why is the one by whom and through whom and for whom we do all this in the first place, the Messiah. The first reason why is because the Messiah is worthy. He's worthy of this. He's our ultimate reason. He's worthy of us gladly giving ourselves to his cause in our generation. The first reason is the Messiah. He's worthy of it. Now, I want to show you that the Messiah is worthy of us gladly giving ourselves to his cause in the best way I know how. And the best way I know how is simply to show you that Jesus of Nazareth really is the anointed one, another way of saying the Messiah, that Isaiah was writing in Isaiah 61. I want to show you that Jesus' cause is worthy by showing you that Jesus really is the Messiah of Isaiah 61. Are you ready to see it? Let's look together. In the Old Testament, the Messiah, which is another way of saying the anointed one, was actually typically the king. Speaking of Israel's greatest king, King David, we read in 1 Samuel 16:13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and," here's our word, "anointed," messiahed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Okay, so David was the Messiah. He was the anointed king, not just anointed with Samuel's oil, anointed with God's very Spirit. And the greatest thing that ever happened to the anointed King David was actually what God promised would happen to him. We read about that promise in 2 Samuel, verses 12 to 13. The Lord speaking to David says, "When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers," that is when you die, "I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body," that's your family line, "and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Okay, so God promised the anointed King David that there would be a greater, eternal anointed king that would come from his family line. Okay. Now, let's fast forward 300 years from King David, the anointed one, 1000 BC, and this promise that a eternal anointed one would come from his family line. Let's fast forward from 1000 BC to Isaiah. And our passage this morning, 300 years later, about 700 BC, we read at the beginning of our passage, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Okay, so Isaiah is speaking as though he's speaking in the words of the Messiah, the anointed one, promising that the anointed one will be anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Okay, so you notice the pattern there? David, anointed with the Spirit. The coming Messiah, greater than David, the eternal anointed one with the Spirit. Now I want to fast forward 1,000 years from David, 700 years from Isaiah, to the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth. See if you can follow the pattern. Luke 3, 21 to 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son." Okay, so this is not just the son of David. This is the only begotten eternal son of God. "With you, I am well pleased." Friends, Jesus is the eternal anointed Messiah greater than David. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, declared to be God's eternal Son, and the only one with whom the Father is well pleased. And if that were not enough to link Jesus to the being the greater David and the anointed preacher of Isaiah 61, I want you to now notice how Jesus began his earthly ministry in Luke chapter 4. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written." And now he's going to quote from our passage from Isaiah chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," close quote. Now, you may have noticed that when I read from Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah goes on to say, after he says the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. But Jesus stops short. He doesn't read that part. You see, Jesus' first coming was to bring the year of the Lord's favor, salvation. His second coming will be to bring the vengeance of our God. Verse 20, "And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Friends, Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the eternal anointed one, the Messiah, the King greater than David. And he has come not to destroy us rebels, but to bring the year of the Lord's favor, to bring good news to poor sinners like us who have nothing to offer God but the spiritual riches found in Christ. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Admire him. Adore him, revere him. He is the reason why we gladly give ourselves to his cause. He is worthy of every prayer we make, every gift we give, every labor we perform for his cause of saving a people for his glory. He is worthy of a new facility that, God willing, won't look anything like that one day. and will be filled with worshipers of his whose hearts have been transformed by the gospel of his grace. He is worthy of more worship than he is getting right now. He is all of our reasons. He is why. As John Piper says, missions exist because worship does not. The reason why we do all this is because Jesus is worthy of more worship than he is getting right now. We want to see more worshipers. He's worthy of it. He is why. So the first reason why we're going to gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023 is the Messiah himself. He is worthy. Now the second reason is the Messiah's message. The second reason why we're going to gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023 is the Messiah's message. First, the Messiah, he's worthy. But our second reason is his message. His message is urgent and it is glad. I mean, remember, Jesus identified so closely with this passage in Isaiah 61 that he began his earthly ministry by reading it and saying that in him its message is fulfilled. So friends, Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3 is Jesus' message to us. It's his message to us. Our passage is the Messiah's message to those who are bankrupt in spirit and brokenhearted over their sins and suffering with nothing to offer God but Christ. Isaiah 61 is his message to those who are once under the bondage of sin with no way to be set free from its condemnation except for the power and the grace of Christ. Isaiah 61 is his message to those who, because of sin, deserve to be under God's day of vengeance but find safety only in the finished work of Christ. It's his message to all who mourn over what we've made of ourselves in our lives. And even though it's the beginning of the new year, it's his message to all of us who are exhausted with all of our self-effort to make improvements, but come to Christ and Christ alone for rest. So let's read the Messiah's message now through the lens of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. I mean, what a wonderful summary of the gospel. The gospel is the glorious news that though we are poor in spirit with nothing to offer God, Jesus has given us his spiritual riches by grace. The gospel is the wonderful news that though we were once bound under sin and brokenhearted in this sad world, we have been given eternal gladness because we've been reconciled to God through Christ alone. The gospel is the wonderful news that though we were once under the judgment of God, now through Christ alone, we have stepped into the eternal year of the Lord's favor. And the gospel is the wonderful news that though we are sad in this broken world, we are, as Paul Tripp says, sad celebrants, because we know this is the closest to hell we'll ever get. This is the Messiah's message. And his message is why we do all this. The Messiah is worthy, and his message is both glad and urgent. That's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we labor. That's why we want a new facility, and that's why we want to reach more people with this message. This message has to get out. This is the message that alone has remade us. And it's this message alone that will remake our broken world. Only the Messiah's message can bring spiritual riches to those who are poor in spirit and bankrupt before God. Only the Messiah's message can heal the broken hearts of this world by reconciling them to God. Only the Messiah's message can set those enslaved to sin free forever. Only the Messiah's message can heal the world from the sadness of sin and judgment by bringing them into the Lord's favor forever. The Messiah's message is the only message that can save, and this is why we do all this. This is why we pray. This is why we give. This is why we labor. And this is why we don't give up. We've been remade by his message, and we want to see his message spread as far as possible. We do it first because of the Messiah. He is worthy. And second, because of his message. It's glad and it's urgent. His message is why. And this brings us third and finally to our third reason why we gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023. First, the Messiah. Second, the Messiah's message. Now, third and final reason why we gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause is the Messiah's people. The Messiah's people. You see, when you receive the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, when you make his message your only hope in life and in death, he doesn't leave you alone in isolation. It's not like just you alone with Jesus and it's your job to get that message out, thank God. He makes you, the Spirit-anointed Messiah actually makes you part of his Spirit-anointed people. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, in him, that is in Jesus, you, that's us, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and are bound together with a particular local expression of his people, you are the church, God's anointed people, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You are not isolated anymore. And Isaiah describes the Messiah's people in maybe the most dignifying terms you can find anywhere in the Bible. Isaiah 61, verse 3. That they may be called, so he's, the Messiah's message has gone out so that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Now that's an amazing description for us. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we've been given new life. Oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. See, the reason why we do all this is because we are the Messiah's people. And he has entrusted us with his mission. He's invited us to gladly give ourselves to his cause. So let's look now at what his cause is. Isaiah 61, verse 4. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities. Guys, this is what we get to do. The devastations of many generations. You know, ever since Adam fell into sin, sin has been spreading, as Ray Ortland calls it, a culture of death in our world. And frankly, you're never going to understand yourself or our surroundings without that background. That ever since Adam fell, a culture of death has been spreading in our world. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that we have been brought from death into eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we've been brought together as a people, oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And now we have such an exquisite mission. The Messiah's cause is repairing the devastated places. And he invites us to gladly give ourselves to that cause. You know, I think one of the reasons why I love Isaiah 61 verse 4 so much is because, I mean, we bought a building that's literally in ruins. And we have the privilege over the next year and a half, 2 years, of rebuilding a broken place. And yet we're rebuilding it for the far greater purpose of it being a place where generations that have been wrecked by sin can be rebuilt by the gospel of grace. You see, we've purchased this building and we're building it out not just so that we can renovate a broken place, but so that the broken, devastated generations by sin can have new life in Jesus Christ all throughout our region and for decades to come. So this is why we do all this. First, the Messiah, he's worthy of it. Second, his message, it's urgent and glad. It has to get out. And third, his people, we have been given a glorious cause. So City Light Church, let's gladly give ourselves to the Messiah's cause in 2023. This is why. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor and glory and praise because you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and this glorious message of new eternal life in him, and then you've made us your people who get to bring this message to the broken places. And Father, our simple prayer is that this passage will anchor us in our new identity and our new purpose in Christ, that we would gladly give ourselves to his cause in our generation. And so, Father, we pray that you would do that work of renewing and refreshing us for the journey ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.